I'm Digital Dave.
We left the llama at home. I'm Fast Eddie.
Fortunately.
He doesn't travel well.
And we are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Boswell, call sign Boat.
There's got to be an interesting story there.
Somewhere in the annals of history, there's a story.
He chooses not to reveal it this time.
Well, it's a good thing because we've got a very important topic here. For those of you who may be flying through the area, we've heard a lot about this. You're busting TFRs out there. So we're going to talk about TFRs and how to avoid getting intercepted.
Exactly.
That's the goal.
Now, RNC just completed in Milwaukee. Did you guys end up intercepting?
Yeah, we had some interactions this past week.
Were they fun?
I don't know if any of them are ever fun necessarily. Yeah. We do like to call it a good one-time free air show. So for those participants in it, I guess they got to see something they wouldn't normally get to see. But we had at least three that were out there.
A lot of brown pants moments.
You have to talk to the pilots, I guess.
Yeah.
So
again, the political year. Do you guys establish TFRs over every rally that the campaign candidate has?
No. So the process is really whoever is holding the event, whether it's a sporting event or the rallies or whatever the event is, they are the ones that request that through the FAA.
Okay.
And the FAA then establishes the TFR, and then there's a potential request for security, which would then be where we would come into play.
So you have to move aircraft to that area and be ready to go?
Depending on where it's at. So the airplanes that took place in the intercepts this past week were out of Madison, Wisconsin, the Air National Guardian up there, F-35s.
So they can get there pretty quickly.
They're locally close. But sometimes there, depending on where that TFR is located, they may have to either pre-position aircraft on the ground someplace, or primarily they typically set up an airborne combat airplane.
And just rotate them in and out?
Correct, yeah.
And it's a boring day, hopefully.
That's always the goal. That's always the hope. And that's exactly why we're here. We're trying to create boring days for the fighter pilots out there and non-events for the civilian population.
Describe what an intercept would look like to me, the dumb general aviation pilot, because that's what I am.
Sure, yeah. So the general flow, if you will, is there's a pilot flying around doing something, and they're going too close to a TFR. So wherever that TFR is established, there's a center point of it, and outside of that center point, 30 miles, is the ring that we're trying to keep everybody out of. And then inside of 10 miles is a no-fly period dot. Between 10 and 30 miles, pilots can transit that as long as they're on the approved flight plan. They're talking to air traffic control, and they're squawking the appropriate code. As long as all that's taking place, no harm, no foul, everybody's going to be happy and doing all the things they're supposed to do. But the instant one of those three things changes, then the ears start getting perked up with the air traffic controller in that area, and they're going to start looking at them a little more closely, trying to reach out on the radio frequency of that area. And if they're not able to get a hold of them, then they'll start talking to us and coordinate for potentially launching an aircraft to intercept.
Okay, so it's actually the civilian controller's decision whether to scramble you guys or not.
It's not the decision for them to scramble us. They just give us the information, and we make the choice based on some predetermined matrix of information as to whether we're going to actually scramble.
Yeah, well, like he's 4 miles from the 10-mile zone, and he's not talking to us, and we can't get a hold of him.
Correct. Yeah. Now a lot matters in there, right? The altitude, because those TFRs only go up to 18,000 feet. So if you're above that, then probably not an issue. But depending on how threatening they look, so how fast they're going, the direction of travel, and the altitude they're at, those all play a factor in how they're going to be responded to.
And how urgently your attention
needs to be placed on them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And how urgent it's going to be for them to pay attention to you.
Very true. And obviously, ignorance is bliss until it's not, right? And so, you're fat, dumb, and happy in your airplane. Your radio's quit for some reason, and all of a sudden, you've got an airplane showing up on your left-hand side, typically. That's going to be your first indication, probably, that something bad has gone on. But there's also just, your GPS quits or your nav systems go out. It just depends on what's going on.
My first reaction would be, wow, look, that's a really cool airplane. I wonder if he's lost.
So once you see that airplane, typically off the left-hand side of your airplane, you're going to want to take a look and see what's going on. Check your radio frequency. If you see a fighter off your left-hand wing, they're probably rocking their wings. And then the expectation is you're going to go on to a civilian guard frequency and get in touch with them, because that's the radio frequency that you would be talking to them on.
Okay. 121.5.
That's it.
121.5. Okay.
Yep.
I was going to ask, what frequency We got it.
Yep.
Yep. Now, how do we avoid any of these fun little incidents? What's the best way?
The best way is to know that the TFRs exist, and then secondarily know what the procedures are to interact with them properly. So I talked about the three things that we need to coordinate with air traffic control
through,
and right. transit through them and stuff like that. But it all starts with pre-flight planning and knowing where the TFRs are, when they're in effect, and then what all the requirements are for you to operate within them safely. That's the first thing, and that's the most important part of this prior to actually getting off the ground. Once you're off the ground, then it's following your flight plan, talking to air traffic control, squawking the appropriate frequencies. And then after that, it's kind of a guessing game as to what got us into that position. And really, nobody knows exactly what's going on in your airplane. So that's why we send those fighters up there. And we're trying to investigate why exactly you've gotten yourself into this mess. Sometimes we won't be able to know, but there are certain circumstances where we've been able to determine there's a medical issue and somebody's incapacitated or something like that, like the pain steward.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, so the pain steward is one of the more famous ones.
Yes.
In the northern part of the United States. But that only was determined by having an aircraft with a human set of eyeballs on it, checking it out. We do have targeting pods on the aircrafts that will be doing the intercepts for the most part, and they can zoom in at range and get a little bit more detail. It's supposed to flying right up close to you, but you can't expect that they will fly close formation and give you some hand signals and rock their wings and get you to try to follow.
You know, me being not the most skilled pilot, I might do something dumb and hit them.
So the big thing there, obviously, at no point do we want anybody to be unsafe and operate their aircraft in a manner that the tech order would not require them to operate it as. So remain predictable. Do normal procedures, right? And we will adjust. And as long as you are responsive and are interacting with those fighter aircraft, preferably by voice over the radio frequency 121.5, then we won't have any issues. But if you remain NORDO for some reason or are unable to contact them, hold up a piece of paper that you've written something on, a message to them, wherever they can read that, and we can get at least some kind of two-way communication going there.
Hold up a piece of paper that says, "Are you lost?"
Yeah. or better yet, it points to the passenger. I'm with stupid.
I'm with stupid, yeah.
There you go. I'm sure they've gotten a few. Where we live, when Biden goes home for the weekends, our airspace is closed over us.
Yeah, it's very busy out there on the East Coast with airspace closures and openings and potentially moving TFRs as well, depending on what the events are that are taking place. So again, checking your NOTAMs, checking the TFRs, and understanding the status is extremely critical, especially as they're up and down and up and down. And you never know when he's going to be moving. So you got to be prepared if you're in an area where he would frequent.
Yes, exactly. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you during one of these things? Doing an intercept.
Nice thing. I personally have never actually had to do one of these. So, knock on wood, that's a good thing. I don't really have any great war stories. I wish I did, because I haven't done it in person, so I could only be secondhand. We had the balloons the past couple of years that were kind of an emphasis item, if you will, kind of a weird one. And we've got some funny stories, I guess, that we can't really discuss on the back end of those experiences. But it's going to be interesting.
You never know what you're going to
get. See an airplane painted with a hot air balloon on it, basically, as opposed to another fighter aircraft. So, yeah, there's some good stories coming out of those things that we can't really disclose.
We are not at liberty.
So, anyway, I'm buzzing along, and I get intercepted.
Now,
are you going to ask me to land at an airport nearby so you could have a discussion with me? Or are you just going to escort me out of the area and say, well, have a nice day?
So, again, like every answer I'm going to give you, it probably depends on the circumstances. But primarily, the big thing we want to do is get you away from the thing that the TFR was established to protect. So we're going to move you away from that. And that first is going to start with a turn from the fighter aircraft away from the center point of that TFR. And that is an instruction after rocking its wings that you're going to follow that fighter aircraft. We recognize that you're not going to probably be able to keep up, which is totally fine. As long as you move your nose in that direction in a smart and safe, predictable manner, that's totally fine. And just remember that at all times we have another aircraft behind you that is monitoring the situation to make sure you're in compliance.
It is not as friendly.
And Neither of them are extremely friendly. They're going to maintain as friendly a position as they possibly can. But they're there to monitor and make sure that you're going to comply. If you don't, then they'll come up there, rock their wings again, and then potentially, depending on how close you are and how threatening you look, they might perform the headbutt maneuver. And you're going to be able to see that if you're here on the show site today at about 2:25 this afternoon. We're going to show this whole sequence of events over Show Center. And we'll start the flying portion today and on Wednesday as well with our intercept procedures display. They may perform the headbutt, which is going to be a turn across the nose, deconflicted in altitude, potentially putting out flares. You're not going to see that at show site just for safety purposes for fire, in the air you'd potentially see some flares as well. And that's really just to get attention and help get your eyes onto that fighter aircraft and then move them out of the way. The three events that happened this week, the headbutt maneuver was performed,
It worked.
Eventually. We'll say
the guy's like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Yeah. You know, again, it's still flying along.
It's a one-time free good air show, you know, kind of thing. So, the headbutt maneuver, and then eventually, yes, to your point there, we are going to get you towards a piece of concrete that we think that your aircraft is configurable and safe to land at. If safety being paramount, if it's not safe to land, then don't do it. But you should see light gun signals. And then if you see the fighter aircraft off your wing and the gear come down, that is your clearance to land. You should be safe to land at that point.
And then stick with your airplane because you're going to be answering questions.
Yep, you're gonna roll out. You're going to clear the runway. You'll stop on the ramp someplace. And then just sit there like if you just got a speeding ticket. Wait for the local authorities or the FBI, the Secret Service, potentially to show up and start asking you some questions. And you're going to need a little couple-hour interview probably.
Yeah, okay. And the first words are, boy, you done messed up.
Yeah, really. And, officer, I didn't do it. I wasn't speeding. Yeah,
really? Did I forget my turn signal?
That's right.
I'm sorry. My wallet's in my other pants.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us. And again, 2:25 over Show Center today and on Wednesday. The Duluth F-16 Air National Guard fighters will be out there for us, showing us how this is all done.
Sounds very good. Very good. We've been talking with Trevor Boswell about avoiding intercepts for breaking TFRs.
Exactly.
I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, not being intercepted, and this is EAA Radio.
Should be intercepted.